All right, good evening, everyone. Let's continue tonight. I wanted to tonight. Well, by the way, I've really been enjoying the prep that's going behind this this series. It's a lot of fun. This is topics that I haven't spent too much time really digging into, so it's been very enjoyable for me. But we're last time there was one thing that we had brought up that really needed its own class in and of itself to be clarified further. And that's really the question of, is Mashiach only for the Jews, or is it for the non-Jews? Is it for the entire world? Is it that we are going to be the beneficiaries of Mashiach's arrival? Or is it that really the whole world is going to benefit from Mashiach's arrival? That's really the question I want to look into tonight. And it begins, like so often we do, it begins with a Rambam, where the Rambam seems to be very straightforward about this this question, to say that it's not only going to be to the Jewish people's benefit, but really the entire world over is going to benefit greatly from Mashiach's arrival. As we described last time, where the Torah says, "Hirbicha v'hitivcha." Me'avosa, that we are going to have more goodness, meaning more clarity of Hashem than even our ancestors did. That's not only a message to the Jewish people, the Rambam is saying, that's a message to the entire world. The entire world is going to have more of a clarity of Hashem after Mashiach's arrival. He writes, he says, that during the days of Mashiach, there's going to be an increase of knowledge. There's going to be an increase of day of knowledge, chachma, wisdom, and emes, and truth that takes place throughout the world. The entire world is going to understand more clearly God. Okay. Hashem's going to remove the rock from the rock of a heart from our flesh. We're going to not be thick-headed anymore. Because this Melech HaMashiach, this king that's going to come and reign, that is from the ancestry of David HaMelech, is rather from the offspring of David HaMelech, Bal Chachma Yeh Yosher Mishlomo, is going to be even more wise than Shlomo HaMelech was. That's an amazing thing, right? Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men. Baruch Atah Menachem Shlomim Bro. This king from this Melech HaMashiach is going to be even more wise than Shlomo HaMelech. V'Navi Gadol Hu Karov Lomosha, and is going to be a prophet that's almost at the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. Interesting. When it came to wisdom, so he's going to be even more wise than Shlomo HaMelech, which by definition makes a lot of sense, right? If part of what he's going to cause is going to be this clarity of God that we've never experienced before, well, that included Shlomo HaMelech, right? So it makes sense that he's going to be have more wisdom than King Solomon. But in terms of nevuah, in terms of prophecy, the difference in prophecy and what we were describing, chachma is clarity that one has. Wisdom is clarity that one has through their understanding of Hashem and the Torah. Nevuah is a direct correspondence with God. Their actual correspondence with God is not going to be the highest that it ever was, because we know that part of our principles of faith is that the greatest Navi that ever was Moshe Rabbeinu, as ever was and ever will be. That's part of our fundamentals of faith. So the Rambam is very careful in his language here, that in from a from the perspective of his wisdom, of his chachma, he's going to be even greater than Shlomo. But from a Nevuah perspective, Mashiach is going to be almost as great as Moshe, which is pretty good still. V'lefikach, therefore, now this is the key line in the Rambam. V'lefikach, yilmud kol ha'am v'yore osam derech Hashem. The entire nation is going to learn from him and get guidance from him on the path of Hashem. V'yavu kol ha'goyim l'shomo. And all the nations of the world are going to hear what he says. Sheneemar v'yi b'achris hayamim nachon yeh har beis Hashem berosh harim v'sof kol ma'asher yoho kulu v'atova achris she'ein lahefsek, that this is going to be part of the goodness, that it's not going to have an end. L'chai olam hava. Fine. Okay. So here the Rambam is very clear on the matter, right? And addressing the question is Mashiach just for the Jews or for all the other nations of the world as well? The answer is that it's for everybody. Everyone is going to end up having this clarity that they're going to receive from listening to the listening to Melech HaMashiach, by listening to this Messiah when he comes. Everyone, the whole world, is going to have this this clarity. So the Rambam is very very clear on the matter. And in fact, we double down on this. We double down on this every single day, three times a day, sometimes even more than that. When we say Aleinu, during certain circumstances, we say Aleinu even more than the outside the context of regular minyan. But at a minimum, we say Aleinu three times a day. And in the second paragraph of Aleinu, we actually say exactly this, that the entire world is going to come to this recognition of Hashem. That's the photocopy you have over here on the paragraph that begins Al-Kain. Al-Kain Nekave. Therefore, we put our hope, L'cha Hashem Elokeinu, in you Hashem, L'ir'os Mehera B'Tferes Uzecha, that soon, very soon, we'll be able to see the Tferes Uzecha, the splendor of your might, meaning Mashiach. That's what we're waiting for. We have hope, right? The first paragraph of Aleinu, L'shabeach Adonakom, we praise Hashem and we give all these adulations of God. It's all about praising God. And therefore we say, okay, and therefore we have our hope, we have our emunah, that ultimately that we are going to experience Mashiach's arrival, which means when Mashiach comes, the second paragraph of Aleinu is probably not going to be said anymore, right? First paragraph of Aleinu would make sense. We're going to keep saying it, written by Ezra HaSofer. But the second paragraph of Aleinu, we're not going to say anymore. It's all about anticipating Mashiach's arrival. We're going to very soon, Mehera B'Tiferes Uzecha, see the splendor of your might, V'havir Gelulim Min Ha'aretz, to remove the disdainable idolatry, that's the Gelulim. Often idolatry is referred to Avodas Gelulim, that it's the worship of this denigrated worship is Avodah Zarah. So idolatry is going to be removed from the land, from the earth. And all these other false gods, all these other false religions are going to be cut off. To perfect the universe through the malchus, through the governorship of the Almighty, of Hashem. This is the key line. And kol b'nei basar, all of humanity. We're going to see where the tefillah got this, where it borrowed this language from. We're going to see the Navi Yeshaya in a minute. This is a borrowed language from the Navi Yeshaya, that kol b'nei basar yikru b'shmecha, that all of humanity is going to call out your name. Because the entire world over is going to recognize Hashem. L'fanos elecha kol rishay aretz, that all the people that at one point were rishayim, were wicked, are going to be turning toward you, Yakir v'idu kol yishvei tevel, that they should all recognize and know everyone, all the inhabitants of the world should recognize and know you, ki l'cha t'cha kol berech, because for you everyone should be bending their knee, tishava kol lashon, and should swear, every language should be swearing by your name. So here it's very clear that the author of this paragraph of Al-Kain, the second part of Aleinu, clearly is based off of the same principles as laid out by the Rambam, in that when we discussed last time that clarity that we are going to receive through Mashiach's arrival of understanding of Hashem, That is for the whole world over. It's not only for the Jewish people. So really, the entire world is anticipating Mashiach's arrival. Whether or not they realize that they need it or they're not. I mean, you see today how confused people are in the world is just unbelievable. I was just mentioning to someone the other day that there's a Gemara. I'll read it to you. I happen to have it here with me. That I'm in the middle of learning the end of Masechta Sanhedrin. It just really worked out that all the Gemaras about Mashiach are all in the end of Masechta Sanhedrin. Happens to be where I'm up to in my own learning when we started this this series. It just happened to be. Hashem runs the world. So there's a Gemara that I just saw a couple days ago that says the following, that in the days of Mashiach, the whole world is going to just be so utterly confused about so many things. We're going to be so topsy-turvy in the way that we do things. Here, Ein Ben David Ba, that Mashiach's not going to come. Aj Yirbu Ha Masoros, until the there's many non-believers, that meaning like atheists, people that are actively trying to spread the message that there is no God exists. That's going to be when you're, that's a sign that you know Mashiach is coming. Another one, Davar Acher, Ad Shiyismatu Atalmidim, and that Mashiach is going to come when there's less students in the world, meaning there's a lot more people that think they know everything, and people are not looking to see what the teachers have to say on this matter, but rather they're philosophizing themselves and figuring things out on their own to figure out what the what how we should be. A davar acher is achinis yashu min hagula, that when they don't even when they don't want there to be any sort of Mashiach, there is no, when they don't want there to be a redemption, meaning to say that when the world has lost its way in an understanding that the way things are not great, and that we need to have a salvation, that is going to be a sign that you know Mashiach is almost here. That the world today, the people think that they've, you know, they've created this, their own sense of that of what's right and wrong. That they're not looking anymore to what the past says about what's right and wrong. And the Gemara has like 12, 15 different things that are just so blatantly obvious. It's happening today. Like I once heard from Rabbi Eli Mansour, Shlita, is a big rabbi in Brooklyn, he said that, you know, 200 years ago, if somebody were to show up and say, Mashiach is imminent. It's going to be coming. It's going to be coming very, very soon. Mashiach's arrival is going to be very, very soon. You think the guy is some sort of a prophet, right? You think the guy knows something that nobody else knows. Today, if you were to say something, you look at the guy like, yeah, duh, right? Obviously, what do you mean? We all know that. You just have to have two eyes open to realize today that Mashiach has to be coming soon, right? It's not a sustainable model right now. That's what the Gemara is describing, is that there's some sort of this unsustainable model that's taking place. Another example the Gemara says that children are no longer going to be giving honor to their parents, but parents are going to be going out of their way to make sure that their children are given the honor. That's, come on. That's, but it's sad. You see this sense of entitlement that's taking place among children today, among the next generation today. It's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's wild to watch. It's crazy. This sense of like, you have to serve me, as opposed to the other way around. Maybe that's how it became that way. Yeah. It's the Gemara is like speaking. It's just so obvious that this is, we're living in Muslim Mashiach. So.
And then isn't the Mashiach when it does come, is it leadership to change?
Death is going to, well, this through this clarity that everyone gains. So then people's perspectives are going to, you know. So this is a I mean, Brian, as a shul president, is then a great, I'm not joking, right? Think back, imagine what things were like for, you know, when, I mean, I grew up in a shul where people didn't just sit back and expect things to just happen. That if something needed to happen, so you got up and did it. You ready? It wasn't like there was never a single shul announcement about who set up Kiddush that day. Because everyone set up Kiddush that day. It was like today, just getting people to volunteer and do things, it's almost like there's this expectation. You pay your membership and then things are just taken care of, right? And it's not only like that in the shul, it's like that in schools. It's this universal issue of that there's this like expectation that people are going to do things for me and that there's this entitlement. And the Gemara was written 2000 years ago saying, yeah, it sounds like you're getting ready for Mashiach, right? That's what's happening. So the whole world is doesn't even realize it, but we are going to all benefit greatly from when Mashiach comes, not only the Jews, but the non-Jews as well. I mentioned that this comes directly from the Navi Yeshaya. So the Navi Yeshaya, at the end of the Navi, one of the longest books in Tanakh is the book of Isaiah, Yeshaya, or Yeshayahu, a Navi. And it's many, there are a number of, there's a lot about the Churban HaBayis, about the destruction of the temple, but a lot of the Sefer, much of the Sefer is about giving hope to the Jewish people, trying to find comfort in the destruction, that knowing what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. And there's a lot of that kind of language in the Navi Yeshaya. In fact, that's why we don't particularly learn the Navi Yeshaya, at least the second half of it. We don't learn it on Tisha B'Av because there's in Tisha B'Av, we have to be sitting in the morning. It's not about the hope of what's going to come. Tisha B'Av is the day we recognize, shoot, a whole year went by and we didn't fix the mistakes. So we have to sit in our soil and figure out, you know, the really internalize the issue at hand. And then the next day we start talking about comfort. That's why the next Shabbos and then the seven Shabbos after that point are Shiva de Nechemta, or the Haftorahs are all about Nevuah. All those Haftorahs, they come from the Navi Yeshaya. They all come from the prophecies of Yeshaya Anavi, describing what the Geula, the redemption, is going to look like to give the Jewish people hope. So over there, he writes the following. Says the Navi, he says, the Aviu is kol acheichem, that they'll bring all your brethren, mikol hagoyim, right? It doesn't get more explicit than that. From all the nations, mincha l'Hashem, are going to come as an offering to Hashem, basusim, on horses, uberechev, with chariots, ubatzabim, and with wagons, ubeparadim, and with mules, ubekikaros, and with dancing, alhar kichi Yerushalayim, upon the mountains of Jerusalem. Amar Hashem is what Hashem says. Kasher yivyu bnei Yisrael es hamincha, when the Jewish people are bringing their offerings bichli tahor beis Hashem, in their holy vessels on to the house of Hashem. Meaning that when we have the Beis HaMikdash, the whole world is going to be dancing in Yerushalayim. It's not only going to be just the Jewish people. The whole world is going to be dancing in Yerushalayim when they have this clarity. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all going to become one religion. Meaning that doesn't mean that everyone's going to convert to Judaism. It's not necessary, right? It's not necessary for everything. They'll be Noahides, essentially, that everyone is going to understand Hashem. There's going to be this clarity of thought, a clarity of morality and ethics that's going to exist throughout the world. Doesn't mean that people won't make mistakes sometimes, which we'll get to soon, the language the Rambam used to describe what the days of Mashiach are going to look like. But we're going to, but we'll have a clarity that will make it easier for us to follow the Torah and to understand why we're following the Torah. And the rest of the world is going to live in a very civilized manner. There's not going to be anti-Semitism. Right? Nobody's going to be attacking the Jews because they have this clarity of Hashem. They're going to follow the seven laws of the seven Noahide laws, the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. that is going to be what the world is going to look like, as the Navi is describing. And the whole world is going to be dancing on the mountain of Yerushalayim. He continues and he says, a few psukim later, he says, V'haya midi chodesh b'chodesho. And on every new month, meaning on every Rosh Chodesh, midi Shabbos b'Shabbaso, and every Shabbos, yavu kol basar lishtachavos lefnei Hashem, lefanai amar Hashem, that the entire world, kol basar, that was what we said. It's a borrowed language from the Navi Yeshaya, that we say, kol b'nei basar yukub b'shmecha, all humanity is going to be calling your name. That's the Navi saying here, that on the special, on special days, Shabbos and Yontif, the whole world is going to see the value of those things. They're going to recognize how it all comes from Hashem. And then the Navi concludes, this is mamish the end of the way that the Sefer Yeshaya, his entire prophecy concludes by saying, v'yitzu v'yirdu b'figrei ha'anashim, that they'll go out and they'll see the corpses, haposhtim, of people b'ki tolasam, that rebelled against Hashem, that are decaying. Lo tamos v'asim lo tichabe. That their decaying will never stop, and that their fire upon them won't be distinguished. Meaning people that rejected this notion, that people that even after Mashiach come completely reject it regardless. So then there's almost no hope for them at that point, says the Navi. V'yu their own the chol basar, and they're gonna create a disgrace for all mankind, meaning that there's going to be this chol Hashem that they are creating. And but it's just a few, it's not the whole world, it's just a few that are going to have that. But what's clearly being contrasted here is not the Jewish people versus the other nations. What's being contrasted here is the Jewish people with the other nations against just those very, 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 very few that never jumped onto the Mashiach bandwagon. That's what the Navi is. That's what the Navi is describing. So, the as we saw from the Rambam, the Navi Yeshaya, and is definitely reflected in our davening when we say Aleinu, that Mashiach is not only for the Jewish people, but it's really for all of humanity. It's for all of mankind, and that the entire world is going to benefit. Now, I mentioned this Rambam last time, but we mentioned it just in passing. It's an important, especially considering this discussion, what it is that the days of Mashiach are going to look like. What is it, right? We said that we're going to have this clarity, but what exactly are the days of Mashiach going to look like? And the Rambam's answer is, it's going to look normal. It's going to look like, it's going to feel like normal life with clarity. That's what the world is going to look like. Now, we've met people like that before. We've all met people like that, that they don't seem to get confused or perplexed. They don't seem to get stressed out. They don't seem to be uncertain as to what the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. There's a few people like that that just have clarity in life. They follow Torah mitzvos, but at the same time, they're also not obnoxious about it. They're very, principled, but not necessarily expecting of others in an aggressive way to follow their principles. Like people that just get it and just know how to do life. The Rambam says that's just the way it's going to be for everybody, but it's going to be normal life. That's what he says. Al yale al alev. Don't think. He's using the language alalev because it's almost like a fantasy that people can put in their imagination. They have this fantasy, and I think it's the way that most people have this fantasy. Should be a most hamashiach, that during the days of Mashiach, yivatel davar mimin hagul shalolam, that the whole world is going to be completely different, that the world's not going to function normally. That's not the way it's going to be. Oh, yeah. Sham chidush b'masa bereishis, that there's going to be this new form of creation that takes place. Like the whole world is going to be recreated at that moment. And I'm sure that there's fantasies that I'm sure people have in their head of like, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be this like, I don't know, there's going to be this like whirlwind that takes place. And like, I don't know, there's going to be fire shooting out of the heavens. I don't know. What's it? People have these ideas now. You watch movies. People have this idea in their head of what it's going to look like. Ramah says it's going to be normal life. It's going to be totally normal life. Ela olam kimenhago noi. The world's going to function the way it normally functions. People are going to still make mistakes. People are still going to do the wrong thing. However, and this way he quotes the Navi early in Yeshaya. He says, "Vezeshenam Rabbi Yeshaya." Aye, but the Navi Yeshaya does describe a miraculous event that's going to take place by the days of Mashiach. What does it say? It says, and this we're all familiar with, that Vigar Ze'ev im hakeves, that the wolf is going to lie next to the lamb. V'nemar im gedi, and the leopard is going to lie next to the goat, next to the kid. Says the Rambam, that's a mashal. That's just a parable. That's not... In the days of Mashiach, when a leopard sees a kid goat, it sees lunch. And in the days of Mashiach, when a wolf sees a lamb, it sees lunch. It's not that is still going to happen, says the Rambam. Rather, inin hadava, rather, what is that mashal? What is that parable? What is that illustration trying to create for us? What is the Navi trying to bring out by giving us that illustration? He says, Yisrael Yoshvin Levetach. Really, it's just it's a mashal for what the Jewish people's role in the world is going to be. That we, who are like the lamb or like the kid goat, that throughout our history have been attacked by the wolves and attacked by the leopards, we're not going to have to worry about it when Mashiach comes. That's what the Navi was trying to bring out. Not that these miraculous events are going to come to be, that there's going to be the wolf lying with the sheep. It's that the Jewish people are going to live comfortably among those that at one point in our history were treating us like a docile sheep or a docile kid goat. That is what the Navi was trying to bring out. But otherwise, it's just going to be regular life with this amazing clarity. With this in mind, we can better appreciate why Kaddish is such an important tefillah. Take a look at the other side of the page. Kaddish really is a descriptive prayer of what the world is going to look like upon Mashiach's arrival. That's what. That's really what Kaddish is that it's when we say Kaddish, it's this sense of optimism that's the way we are going to live one day. It's all written in future tense, right? We say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shemei Rabba, that God's name will be exalted and sanctified. His name will be great, right? It's all in the future tense. That's what will happen. That it's going to happen in the world that he created according to his will, and his reign in his kingship, that this is going to happen in our lifetimes and in the lifetimes of the entire Jewish people. We ask that it should happen quickly, bizman kariv, very soon, meaning hopefully Mashiach will come very soon and this will happen. And that's how we respond. The response to that, right? It's that those that are saying Kaddish are making a very, are making a statement. They're making this declaration that this is going to happen. And what is the congregation's response? The congregation's response is, yes, amen. Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach Li'olam U'Me'al Maya. Yes, his name should be great and blessed forever and for all of eternity. That's the give and take in the Kaddish prayer. When those that are saying it say his name is going to be great, there's going to be this clarity that takes place across the entire world. And we all respond every time saying, Amen, Amen, Amen. And we say, Amen, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach. Yes, his name will be great upon the entire world. It's that we use the inflection points of tefillah that after we've gone through the prayer service, we've hopefully come to this belief, this total belief that this will happen. And that's why we go through a Kaddish. That's why we go through Kaddish. Now, one could suggest that That's why those that are saying Kaddish are the ones that their tefillah is a tefillas ani, and it's the most sincere davena. Who are the ones that have the most sincere davening? Hopefully the chazan. The chazan is the one that says Kaddish. And mourners say Kaddish. Mourners that have this broken heart. Who else wants Mashiach more than those that are reeling from a tragedy? Those, if anybody wants Mashiach, of course it's them. That they're the ones that are making this declaration. They're the ones that had the most sincere tefillah and then are most likely to have had this recognition of Hashem. This recognition of what really needs to happen. Therefore, they make the declaration of Kaddish, that Hashem's name will be great. Mashiach is coming. We all respond, Amen. That's the, you ever heard a Nusach Sfard Kaddish? A Nusach Sfard Kaddish is a couple extra words. V'yatzmach purkanaevi karev mashichei. That's even clearer language. It's literally saying the word Mashiach. The Mashiach is going to sprout up. Mashiach is coming. And everyone responds, Amen. Yeheshmei rabba mevorach b'olam v'almaya. Yes, it's going to happen. What's fascinating, there's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that says, a couple different places in Shas, that the Gemara has in Masechta Shabbos that if one says this response of Yeheshmei rabba mevorach b'olam v'almaya with all their intention, then the Gemara says that Hashem rips up any bad decree that may have come their way. Which, based on the way we're presenting it, it's not something that is supernatural. That's something that's very rational to believe that. Because when a person has done that, presumably they've done a full teshuva at that moment. They're saying, yes, we are 100% ready for Mashiach. Like I recognize the necessity of Mashiach's arrival, and I recognize the fact that it will be happening. I'm ready for it, Hashem, and therefore Hashem says, "Okay, then let's do it." That's why there's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Masechta Brachos that, at first glance, is very difficult to understand. The Gemara tells a story. It says a story about Rabbi Yossi. Tani Rabbi Yossi, is the Gemara in Brachos right in the beginning on Daf Gimel. Tani Rabbi Yossi, taught the following. He said, "Pam achas hayiti mahalach baderech. One time I was traveling on the road. V'nechnasti l'churva achas mechurvas Yerushalayim, and I went inside a churva shul, a destroyed shul from the destruction of Jerusalem." Meaning that, and this is after Yerushalayim had been destroyed, that he was traveling, and while he was traveling through one of these destructed sites, and wanted to daven. So he goes into one of the churvas, one of these dilapidated shuls, one of these destroyed temples, to go and daven there. And when he was davening, Ba Eliyahu zachor leto v'shamar li ala Pesach. Eliyahu Hanavi comes, and I see Eliyahu Hanavi is waiting for me by the entrance of this destroyed shul. Ad shesiyamti tefilasi, until I finished my davening. Acha shesiyamti tefilasi, once I finished davening, Amrali, he said to me, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi. This is where Eliyahu Hanavi says to Rabbi Yossi, he says, Shalom Alechem. He responds and says, Amarti lo, Shalom Alechem, Rabbi, Mori. None of the, it's fascinating, none of the commentators pick up over here and say, was Rabbi Yossi crazy? No, he wasn't crazy. Yeah, Mamish was having a conversation with Eliyahu Hanavi. Mamish. So Amarti lo, Amarti lo, Shalom Alechem, Rabbi, Mori. Responding in the honorable way, how are you, my master and teacher? Amarli, Eliyahu Hanavi responds back to Rabbi Yossi and says, Bini, my son, I'm curious, why did you go to daven inside of this destroyed temple? Amarti lo, I said to him, Lehisbala, I came to pray. The Amarli, he said, you know what, it would have been better, Hailacha Lehisbala Baderech, it would have been better for you to just daven on the road and not daven inside of this destroyed shul. Right away, you have to ask the question, what's wrong with going and davening inside of the destroyed shul? One way of thought, exactly the opposite, right? Man, this shul is sitting, like the Navi says, that Yerushalayim is Yoshev Shamema. It's sitting in this, in this broken state, in this emptied state. Fill it up a little bit with some davening. Why is that a bad thing? Says, oh, Navi, better you should have davened on the road. Amarti lo. It's very difficult to understand. We have to get back to it. Amarti lo. I said back to him, Mesiar Haiti. No, I was nervous to stop on the side of the road. Why? Because of bandits. Highway robbers. I was nervous of stopping on the side of the road to daven. Shema Yifsku be over Idrachim, because maybe I'll encounter a highway robber. Responds Eliyahu HaNavi and says, better than having gone inside of this churva, of this destroyed shul, Amar li ha'elech ha'lispal tefila ktsara. You should have just davened a short little tefillah on the side of the road, meaning stop for 30 seconds, daven very quickly, get back on the road. Better to do that than having gone and daven inside of this destroyed shul. Why? Says Rabbi Yossi that the conversation continued after that point. Amar li, Eliyahu HaNavi says to Rabbi Yossi after this part of the conversation was done, he says, Amar li bini, my child, ma kol shama b'chur vazu. What did you hear anything when you were inside of the shul? Amarti lo, he said, yeah. Shamati baskol, I heard a heavenly voice. She minha menes kiona, that was wailing like a dove. The omeres, and it was saying the following. This wailing voice was saying, oy lebanim shebaavan osei mechrafti es beiti v'serafti es echali. How unfortunate it is for my children that I destroyed my home and I had to kick them out of the house. V'higladli leben ha'umos, and I had to send them to the other nations of the world. V'amrli, and so Eliyahu HaNavi responds back, after I told him this, after I told him this is what I heard. I heard this voice saying how unfortunate it is that Hashem had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He says, Amrli, chayecha v'chayroshcha, I'm telling you, I swear by your life, that lo shazu bilvad, it's not only at this time that this heavenly voice comes out. Omeraskach ela bechol yom v'yom, either every single day, shalosh pa'amim, three times a day, this heavenly voice comes out, omeraskach, and says this. And then Eliyahu continues and he says, lo zu bilvad, and not only does it say that, ela b'shash yisrael nechnasim lebet ha'knesios, but when the Jewish people come into these beautifully built shuls like ours, and they daven inside of their shuls and their batei medrash, the own, and they respond in the kaddish yeheshmei rabba mevarach liolam umel maya. When we say that, Hakadosh Baruch Hu menanei arosho, Hashem is nodding his head to Omer and says, Ashrei hamelech shemekalsin oto. How fortunate I am that my children are giving me all this praise in my house, and it's so unfortunate for oilahem lebanim shigilu al shulchan abayim that unfortunately they don't have the full redemption. But how fortunate am I that they praise me like this in my household? So Eliyahu HaNavi is telling Rabbi Yossi two things. Number one is, it's really telling him three things. Number one is, you shouldn't have davened inside of a destroyed shul. Question one is why. Why would it have better to not really have davened at all than to daven inside of a destroyed shul? Number two is that he tells him that this wailing voice of negativity, of reminding Hashem again over the fact that he had to kick us out of Yerushalayim and destroy the temple, happens whenever the Jewish people daven inside of a destroyed shul. But then when we say Yehesh Mei Rabba, when we say Kaddish inside of a beautifully built shul, Hashem says, ah, how wonderful is that? What's going on over here? So I once saw an explanation from Rebbe Eliashiv Zatzal. Rebbe Eliashiv, the leading halakhic authority, passed away in 2012.
Well, it's like you don't look back to the pool.
So Rebbe Eliashiv had an amazing explanation. Rebbe Eliashiv, he said that when somebody's traveling on the road and they pass by this destroyed shul, they think to themselves, you know what? I'm going to go daven in that shul. Essentially, what statement are they making to Hashem when they're davening in there? I've left this place, go to rot and be destroyed, and I just happen to be passing by it. It's almost like saying to Hashem that I don't actually care to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. I'm here to pray for myself, for my own personal needs. And I'm going to continue on my way after this point. No intention of rebuilding. I have no intention of changing things. Hashem's response is how unfortunate the situation is that I had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. However, when we come to Shul and we build a Beis HaMikdash, and we're building, like Brian said, we're building for the future. As the Navi says that all the Bate Knesses, Bate Midrashes, all of the shuls outside of the Beis HaMikdash are going to be transported to Yerushalayim when Mashiach comes. You can be transported to Yerushalayim when Mashiach comes. That essentially it's like when we enter into the shuls, it's like a microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash. And in this microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash, we say Kaddish, we make this declaration we were just describing, and we say in response, yes, Hashem's name will be great when Mashiach finally is here. That, or the world will recognize the greatness of Hashem's name when Mashiach is here, is a better way of putting it. Then Hashem nods his head, Naneas Rosho, he's nodding his head saying, that how fortunate, Ashi Amel Mekalsim Benav Bebeso, how fortunate is a king whose children praise him like this in his household, meaning to say, you're getting closer, you're getting closer, you're getting closer. The other shuls that you left destroyed and you want to just take advantage of, that's like a slap in the face to Hashem. It's almost saying like, you don't actually care that it's destroyed. But when we're building and we're trying to bring more of Hashem into the world and we're making these declarations, recognize world over, recognize how great Hashem's name is going to be seen when Mashiach comes, and we all say, yes, Yehei, Shmei, Rabba, Mevorach, Yolom, Me'amaya, yes, it's going to happen. And we do so inside of a beautifully built shul, inside of a testimony of our hope for the ultimate redemption. So then Hashem says, okay, you're getting a step closer. That's what was happening in this conference. That's where Eliyahu HaNavi was trying to teach to Rabbi Yossi at that time. So now I think we have a better understanding of what the days of Mashiach are going to look like. That the days of Mashiach are going to be quote unquote normal. They're going to be quote unquote normal with this incredible clarity that not only the Jewish people are going to benefit from, the entire world is going to benefit from having this clarity of Hashem. And it's reflected a number of times in our davening. It's reflected every time we say the Aleinu, and that it's going to be the Chol B'nei Basar Yikru B'Shmecha. The whole world is going to be calling out your name. And we say it every time we say Kaddish. We make this declaration that Hashem's name is going to be great throughout the entire world. Olam L'Me'al Maya. It's going to be throughout the entire world. And then we respond back with a resounding yes of Amen Yishmei Rabba Mubarak Yolom Me'al Maya. Yes, Hashem's name is going to be great forever. It's going to be seen as great throughout the entire world. That, when done correctly, when done sincerely, that really is bringing us one step closer to the ultimate redemption, where we're going to be able to benefit and experience this immense clarity that we're describing, not only for ourselves, not only for the Jewish people, but for the entire world. Okay, we'll stop here for now. You had a question, Marty?
Yes.
Yeah.
Will dead people come back to life?
Ah, so that's a question we're going to have to. We have to get to that question that Marty's bringing up, is that where does Chias HaMesim play a role in the Messianic era? Right? Do they happen at the same time? Are they two separate events? That's something that still needs to be worked out. Tune in next week. I don't know if that's what we're going to talk about next week, but tune in next week. Maybe we will. Was that